Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. All right, meet the Miami indie folk duo Dracula. Doris Bello and Ila Oviedo are behind the band's beautiful, haunting, but soothing sound. They met when they were teenagers and have been performing for over 10 years around Miami. Now, the band performs songs in 5 different languages and is making waves in the independent music scene for its covers of the iconic singer Selena. Now, the band was featured on NPR's Alt Latino and signed with the new local and independent record label called Sweat Records Records. Dracula is the latest in our Live from the 305 series, our bi-monthly conversations and music with the artists shaping our region. They have 2 upcoming performances, the Three Points Music Festival February 15th and on February 21st at Club Space in downtown Miami. We started our conversation by having them discuss the band's sound.
A lot of people call us goth folk.
I would say it's more like gothic than goth.
I just think that's a funny thing because we're not goth at all.
Right.
It's just traditional music, and we sing with harmonies, and like you said, it sounds haunting and somber, so I guess they get that idea, but it's pretty much folk.
Tell me about some of the music that, you know, you grew up with that's influenced you. I mean, what was some of the stuff you remember, you know, as a child, Doris?
Definitely Julio Iglesias. My parents had all his records, and I didn't have a CD player. They had a record player. We didn't have enough money for a new CD player, so I would grab the record player, take it into my room, and I was pretty much stuck with just Julio Iglesias. So
And what about you, Eli?
Well, for me, I grew up in a pretty religious family, and my parents also played music. My father especially is a big inspiration for me. So a lot of the music I grew up around was kind of like in these really small churches that you'd find kind of hole in the wall. Nothing like the like sublime Catholic structures that people are used to, but it would just be quiet guitar playing, a couple of people singing. Didn't really have any exposure to secular music until I was in my 20s or something like that.
Dracula, the name. You know, Dracula is this ominous, evil, but mysterious character. And, you know, he's preying on people. I mean, where did that idea come from and why?
It's funny. It was a pretty arbitrary thing at the time because we were both kind of like, what do we call ourselves? And we didn't really have, we're not really that good, I guess, with coming up with names. So at that time, she was reading Bram Stoker's Dracula, so it was just kind of the first thing.
It's worked out organically where the name makes sense now.
It's developed its own significance, I think, after a while, too. Just a lot of the music is really therapeutic, so sometimes how draining it can be to live through certain experiences. So I guess certain emotions, certain lacks that we have at that point then could be expressed in some abstract way through the way that, like, Dracula's a vampire.
You guys met, what, you were 18 and 19 when you met?
Yeah.
We were both 19.
We were both 19. Mm-hmm.
Take me back. How did that happen? How did you guys meet?
I was working at this restaurant called Bali Cafe, and I met this guy named Edward that Doris was seeing at the time, and he and I got along really well.
We
started making music. Doris was around because they lived together. And then I realized that she had an incredible voice, and we slowly but surely started making stuff together.
And I mean, what was that first time you guys started performing together? And what was that like, Doris?
I just thought our voices melded perfectly. It sounds like we're one person almost, with a lot of echo.
Yeah.
And when did it just become like, you know what, we have to do this more often together. We have to really, you know, pursue something here.
From the very first time, probably.
Yeah,
we got a lot of good feedback, and we just, like he said, it was very therapeutic. I wanted to continue doing it just, you know, for us.
You know, I'm fascinated by this. You speak numerous languages, right?
I mean, I speak English and Spanish. I can speak some Portuguese, and I studied Italian, and Japanese was my major in college for a while. I mean,
but you guys can perform in, like, what, up to 5 different languages, right?
We've played
music in English, Spanish,
French,
Japanese.
Where did that passion for language come from?
Well, I speak English and Spanish. My parents speak French. I'm learning Japanese. We like to listen to a lot of music from other places.
I don't know. For me, I think, if anything, like learning different languages, kind of going along with like a weak version of Sapir-Whorf hypothesis, which like says that you have like a different worldview based off of the way that your language works. So that is just like, I don't know, something really fascinating to me, to be able to think about people. Like, it's almost like an empathic exercise to kind of get to know somebody through their language.
How does it feel when you're singing songs in different languages? Does it change what you're experiencing with the song? And if so, do you have a favorite language?
I love singing in Spanish.
Yeah, I really love singing in Spanish. I think it's my favorite.
Why?
It's just,
I feel like there's more heart in it.
It flows out of me,
yeah,
in this like completely natural way.
And I like the idea of my parents listening in and our families.
Yeah, and just having that like connection to like, I mean, the whole politics of being like a hyphenated person, like a Latin American, like embracing that Latin aspect of yourself, just like not forgetting it.
But you said there's more heart in Spanish.
Yeah.
What is that? How do you explain that?
I feel like I sing it with more passion.
What's the story behind Como la Flor by Tejana Icon Salina?
I think the way that the Latin American community, and even to delve into, I guess, like identity politics, when people refer to like Latinx, where there's this new like modern take on the way that Latin American or hyphenated youth are looking at themselves and their identities, as complex as they might be here in the United States. Sometimes you look back and you think about things in your childhood, and you think about how like Selena ended up really coming into the foreground in terms of popular music, and she was singing in Spanish.
And English.
And I think that was kind of a big connection right there. Not to mention that there was just like so much nostalgia involved in it. And then also the hint of like, I guess the melancholy that's involved in the tragedy of her death as a young person, I think just gives you a moment for pause.
I'm talking with Eli Oviedo and Doris Bello of the duo Dracula. The band was recently featured on NPR's Alt Latino and signed with a new independent record label from Sweat Records. The duo has been playing folk Latino in Miami for more than a decade. You can find out more, by the way, by going on our website or follow us on Facebook, WLRN Sundial. So I wanted to listen to one of the songs that's going to be released on the forthcoming album for the band, 20 Años.
¿Qué te importa que te ame si tú no me quieres ya? El amor que ya ha pasado no se debe recordar. Fui la ilusión de tu vida un día lejano ya. Hoy represento al pasado.
So let's break this one down and explain the process for choosing this song and adapting it to your style. Tell me a little bit about that collaborative approach that you have, how you guys work together.
So not only do we choose the songs, but a lot of our family members will chime in and tell us, oh, this is a beautiful song, I love this song, please sing it. And that one was requested by my madrina, my godmother. It's a trova song from Cuba from the 1920s by Maria Teresa Vera, and that's one of her favorite artists.
Do you ever find yourself, when you're listening to any of these songs, and you know, you don't want to copy what the artist has already done, you want to put your own spin on it?
Right.
How do you do that?
that I think for me it happens inevitably through like our tone, or just like our voices themselves, like the way that we'll pronounce things, or we'll add our own spin on it in terms of like the way that the harmonies work. It's like when you show a friend a record or something, saying, "Hey, I think you'd like this song," kind of thing. So it gives meaning not only to the source of what it is that you're bringing, but also to the way that it interacts with the audience or the person you're bringing it to.
I noticed that in the way when you guys were performing, is that, you know, sometimes I see musicians in their own little world. The two of you are looking at each other all the time.
Yes.
What is that? Why?
That's kind of why I like the duality of it. There's a lot of different things that you can say about it. It kind of makes us look like husband and wife, yin and yang.
Right, or like just like archetypes of like animus, animo, man, woman.
So you guys have played in like any group, you've played in a lot of different places, but is it true you played at the Miami City Cemetery?
We did, yeah. We worked with some friends of ours. We have a nomadic project called Spring Break, The End, and we did a tour of cemeteries, and Miami City Cemetery was one of the ones that we did. And the other one was the Pinewood Cemetery that's down south, somewhere in South Miami.
I mean, look, it goes perfect with the name and this idea, you know, people thinking that you're a goth, but what is it about the selectiveness of the places you choose to perform in, and why? Why do those kind of places?
Romanticism, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's something... It's like inevitably you enter into this contemplative mindset when you go into a cemetery. I also like the fact that it's a public space.
Yeah.
It's like a park, but except that there's people buried underneath.
We're pretty portable. We can play acoustically, we can be mic'd, and he only has the guitar. But we prefer to play in intimate spaces, dark intimate spaces. Again, nothing to do with the name Dracula. It just kind of... It worked out that way. When we perform, we like using a lot of flowers and candles. But yeah, we just like small, dark places.
Or places that have like naturally good acoustics, like stairwells. We've performed in a stairwell before.
Yeah. Or outside, because then we get outside noises, birds singing, the wind, like for the cemetery, trees.
Please explain to me the stairwell. I'm just trying to picture this now.
Well, we've played in a bathroom as well, too.
Oh, yeah, we've played in bathrooms also.
We'll go into a space. They'll tell us you can play anywhere. I start seeing where it'll sound best. And if the bathroom sounds best, that's where we're going to play because it has a lot of natural reverb.
You guys recently signed with Sweat Records Records, the new independent music label, and you were profiled by NPR's Alt Latino. How does... all this new attention, you know, and progress feel for you? What's it been like?
I mean, it's nice to get a lot of congratulations and things.
It's our dream to have an LP.
Yeah, that's we're really looking forward to that.
Really...
But, you know, as you get more attention, I mean, that's part of it is you want more attention. You want to get your music out to more people, but with more attention and more demand.
Yeah, of course, it'd be incredible for this to be our job.
Yeah.
Our dream.
Tell us more about the album that's set to be released. We know that Lola Reskin of Sweat Records Records, her father played trumpet on one of the songs.
Beautifully, yeah.
Yes. Are there any other special collaborations? Tell us a little bit about the release. What can we expect?
His father.
Right. My father, Manuel Oviedo, my big inspiration, plays on one of the songs called La Cenaida, which is a traditional northern Mexican song. And so he kind of adds this like bass element to it. That I've always felt like was a little bit missing from what was going on, but I'm excited about the way that that ended up working out. And I guess in terms of the release itself, I don't know. We're just kind of like waiting it out and seeing what it's going to be like till then.
And it'll just bring more attention. What's next after this?
Hopefully a tour.
Yeah, we've never toured before. We've only played once in Gainesville, Florida, and one other time in Los Angeles, but we've never really left Miami.
Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully getting out of town, playing a few shows might be fun.
And that was Doris Bello and Eli Oviedo, the two members behind the Miami folk indie duo Dracula. The band was featured on NPR's Alt Latino and signed with a new local and independent record label called Sweat Records Records. Their new album is expected to be released soon. And they also have an upcoming performance on February 21st at Club Space in downtown Miami. You can find out more about the band at WLRN.org. That's our program Sundial for this Thursday, January 31st. You can always find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Thank you again for listening. We're going to be listening to a little bit of Dracula as we end here. I'm Luis Hernandez. Have a great Friday, a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.